wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
We're back. Week one of the Gridiron Guys is back. Sorry, I'm just trying to gather my thoughts after. I'm in shock. It's actually the 15th of September, the evening. We've been set back a little bit because we had a midweek letters low. So for anyone who's in Australia, just probably saw an absolute robbery from the Wallabies. And I couldn't think I could be fucked any harder after watching the Broncos absolutely bottle it against the Seahawks on Tuesday. But here I am sitting just... I'm a man, essentially might as well be naked because the whole world wants after me. And before I go any further down this rabbit hole, I should probably introduce my co-host, Cam. Cam, how are you going this week?
Oh, look, I'm in disbelief, disarray, any diss you want. Like, I can't believe what we've just seen. Bernard Foley, like, as Michael said to us, what the fuck is 10 seconds more? Like, he's held up, like, this is off the topic of NFL completely, but Brendan Foley has really potentially cost the Wallabies a win and a chance to retain to get the Bledisloe back after never touching it in a long time. So look, we're both very disappointed. We're punching in at 10:23 PM. So it's a late shift and we're going to get this out hopefully tomorrow morning before we kick off for week two. So yeah, look, normal programming. We'll probably push back to Tuesdays, Wednesdays, hopefully, but we've got a late one coming in this week.
But no, it has been exciting though, hasn't it? Seeing all the week one. I know we got a little taste of it with college the last 2 weeks, but we really kicked off the whole thing seriously this week. And geez, it went off with a bang, didn't it? I suppose. Yeah, classic game to start, wasn't it? That was a huge one on Thursday last week, or Friday our time, wasn't it?
Oh, it was phenomenal, and I guess it solidified for us. I picked Bills as the Super Bowl winner. Says to me they're every chance with a healthy roster, and they're getting guys back, that they're going to absolutely just put teams to the sword this season, I reckon. Like 31-10 against the Super Bowl, previous Super Bowl winners. Look, Rams won't go away. They're going to be there. That's not their best performance, but... My highlight of that game, I suppose, was Jalen Ramsey. Like, he's a top five cornerback, but he got put to the cleaners a little bit.
He got torched, absolutely toasted, didn't he? I think it was like he got targeted 7 times, 6 catches or something for like over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Gave up a perfect passer rating, I think, as I believe.
Yeah, he got absolutely butchered by Diggs on that one as well. He just left him for dead. Look, I mean... I've got nothing against Ramsey, and I think as a corner, you've got to talk the talk for those for that kind of position, don't you? But he just got absolutely wiped off the face of the earth, didn't he? Just control alt deleted. See you later. Fuck, his Windows was not operating at all.
Nah, he was running on a very low iOS or Mac for what you want to play at home. But look, two disappointing things for me on two fronts, I suppose. If you're a fantasy player or if you're a betting person. As we are both, Cam Akers, 3 carries for 0 yards, and also Allen Robinson, who was one I really got behind and had high on as a wide receiver too, I guess. Cooper Kupp, we thought, fuck, he can't get targeted and catch everything, but lo and behold, he's
still
15
does.
Targets, 13 catches, 128 yards and a touchdown. So doesn't matter who's covering him, he's fucking sweet. Allen Robinson, 2 targets, 1 reception for 12 yards, like. I know he's going to bounce back because we're going to talk about him this week and rip into him, but it's very disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, you had other guys like Skronok, who was because you're essentially trying to fill the hole of OBJ. And like, okay, granted, OBJ wasn't amazing, but I think, again, just his presence on the field, he was able to draw people away or, you know, make it a bit easier for Cooper Kupp in some areas. Or if guys weren't, you know, going to him, you had a really nice one-on-one there that you could target. Mm. And
oh, for sure.
Robinson was supposed to come in and be that guy, but he didn't really get a look in, didn't he? I mean, obviously there was a lot of issues with the pocket going down and like there was under so much scoreboard pressure and things like that, but he just became a no-show really, which was it was disappointing to see, especially after the season that he had last year.
Yeah, well, fuck, he did a lot of cardio. That's pretty much all he did on Thursday night. And that's the thing, like, he wanted to go to the Rams to be in a title contender and get lots of the ball, and Baltimore were actually linked to him. I'm like, geez, he could have run blocked and done the same thing all night for us and still got the same result. So, yeah, look, he was a disappointing one. Akers is a weird one. I guess his usage is probably going to go up. I know this probably disappointed fantasy owners the most because people were high on Akers. We weren't. We were staying way away from him, I believe, in our fantasy draft. And rightfully so, I think we did it right there.
Thank God.
Yeah, I think we'll see what Rams have got. Who have they got this week? I know we'll talk about this later. They got Falcons.
Yeah.
I think we'll see Robinson bounce back with at least something, with at least a touchdown or with at least 50, 60 yards.
Yeah, you'd hope so. But, I mean, flipping on the flip side, the Bills, they were quite good. Obviously, offensively, Davis picked up where he left off in the last playoff game. Diggs was elite. Allen was elite. He looks like he might be the early favorite for MVP. But I think it was on the defensive side. You saw the pressure that they got on there. Von Miller was electric out there.
Ooh, yeah.
So, oh, my God. You can just see what he brings to a defense. He just adds that another element, doesn't he? Because Donald wasn't able to have the same impact without Von Miller. And then on the flip side, you saw, I think Stafford got he got dropped about seven times. He threw several picks as well, a couple of which probably weren't his fault, but I think still they were under pressure throws and he was trying to sling it in. And that caused the turnovers.
Yeah, the Ostaff infection really struggled. Like, yeah, seven sacks is massive, three intercepts. And look, he's pretty prone to throwing picks. We're kind of used to that. Allen actually had a few turnovers himself. So, I mean, he wasn't perfect, but he was light years better than what Stafford produced. But yeah, going back to what you said about Von Miller, the difference between the two lines, like if you look at Bill's line, how much scarier it is now with him and how much less scary. Obviously, you've still got Donald, as you just said, and you've got can't think of his name in linebacker. Leonard Floyd yeah. Really causes some havoc out there. But yeah, take out Von Miller and you really lose a key element to your defense. Now, I don't know. Do Bills still need to work on their rushing attack? Like, I know Singletary was all right and they've got Moss and Cook. It's still a kind of a weakness in their game. Is that what they need to get over the top?
Yeah, I reckon that'll be the final piece. If you had to pick on anything of those guys, like it's still probably like a pass grade. But yeah. If you wanted to try and push it further, that'd be where you'd see that's the weak spot, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
They've got no real big rushing guy or anyone that you can take for a power down, essentially. So I don't know if it causes an issue because, obviously, Allen with his legs, like I was going to doubt him, especially if up front against the Rams line, he still managed to punch through a fair few yards as well. So I don't know if they absolutely need it, but if you wanted to just, you know, put the cherry on top, I think that's the perfect way that you would have to finish that team off.
Yeah, you're right. It'd be interesting to see if they make any moves going down the stretch or whether they just stick with who they've got. If these guys, I know it's week one, so we're going to see some changes in carry loads and like the new guys might take some more out away from Singletary. So I guess that's something to watch for them. But they solidified for me that they're really a title contender this year, 100%.
Oh, massively. And there's plenty of time for overreactions as well over the next couple of weeks. A few things that changed up though as well. A couple of big injuries that came out of this week. Dak Prescott was a big one. Fractured his bone in his throwing hand. He needs surgery, I believe, multiple weeks. It's like 6 to 8 potentially, depending on the recovery.
Yeah.
And so that pretty much puts a line through them, especially now that Cooper Rush has to come in and quarterback. And we saw how absolutely just rubbish Pollard and Elliott were on the weekend, weren't they?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They're going to have to heavily rely on Pollard and Zeke. And look, I was listening the other day. Zeke is in year 7. We always talk about him regressing and he still does things and he's still, but like year 7 now, I think he probably could potentially go under 1,000 yards this year. I could be well off the mark there. I know they're going to have to rush a lot more now, so that might help his cause, but with Pollard there, I'm really not confident in them.
Well, and I think just with their offensive line, it just looked in tatters over the weekend. And I mean, look, Dak obviously left, you know, midway through the game or whenever, but he still played horribly that first half as well. CD's nuts looked absolutely useless in that wide receiver one as well. There was just no flow, no consistency in their game, was there? They were never able to build anything. And against the Tampa Bay team that, you know, I think Fournette played well. Tom Brady obviously came back and did his thing. I think there was a nice touchdown from, was it Evans?
Yeah, it was.
But that was, you know, a Tampa Bay team that you probably could have, what was it, 19-3, that you probably could have, if you played well, you probably could have gone away and got the W.
Yeah, definitely. I think Tampa Bay probably didn't play to their full potential. We saw a few flashes from Julio, so that's something we could see throughout the year that I'm actually pretty excited about. It's been good to see him climb up that all-time leaderboard for yards because the last few years really haven't looked great for him. But that aside, yeah, Dallas really struggled. And I said that in our predictions. I said, and you said that as well. I think Philly have got control in the East, and that's looking to start off pretty well. They've just got no options outside of CD's nuts. Like, you just don't, like, I don't think outside CD Lamb, they've got many options at wide receiver that they really like. And then Dalton Schultz, yeah, he's okay. And then, look, the running back by committee isn't what it used to be, and the line isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, it's all over the place, essentially. And I think Jerry Jones is just going to have to live with the fact that this is going to be a rebuilding year. And they may as well just play for the draft picks and then see what's available and whether they want to move on guys. You know, do you look at, as you said, 7 years, I think Dak and Elliott sort of came in around the same time. Is it time to start looking elsewhere potentially? I don't know. I suppose it depends where you end up on the draft and what sort of guys are available at the end of next year.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not really sure about where Dak sits on his contract at the moment. Like, I know he was injured last year, the year before. But, yeah, he's a year or so into his contract, and I don't know how long that also was. So, yeah, do we see the tail end of that? Does this injury hamper his progress? But, yeah, Cowboys are one for me that are really going to struggle. Any other games really took? I know kickers were one that sort of really took the forefront this week, and there was a lot of games decided by kicks or missed kicks.
Yeah, well, probably the biggest one would have been there was Steelers Bengals, which also had TJ Watt was the other big injury, 6 weeks.
Oh, yes.
Potentially 6 weeks, no surgery. That's what they're going for, torn pec. But that was a heap of missed field goals there. The Bengals and the Steelers going backwards and forwards. I think we really saw what the Bengals were capable of. We were really worried about them, and their line just collapsed again. Like, this has been 2 years in a row, and it just folded underneath Burrow. He had an absolute shocker of a day, didn't he? I think there was like about 5 turnovers or something overall, interceptions and fumbles. There was also multiple sacks. Like, those guys just got after him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They really, like, it's pretty handy that for Bengals, then the game looked a lot closer than it did. And look, thanks to a Minkah Fitzpatrick extra point block, that pretty much sent it to overtime and Steelers ended up getting the win. Which is weird because, I mean, McPherson, the kicker for the Bengals, was one that we talked about all last year and was one that got them pretty deep into the playoffs and obviously to the Super Bowl. Like, he was instrumental in getting them that far, and Burrow and the boys were all killing it. But McPherson's ice in his veins kicker, like, he was also really good last year. But, yeah, Bengals' troubles seem to have continued on. Super Bowl hangover could be a real thing. 7 sacks, 5 turnovers. We won't see that from Burrow again. People talk about his appendectomy that he had couple of weeks ago, which has hampered his coming into the season. It's really hampered his what he needed to do, but I think we could be bang on with the regression there.
Yeah, massively. And then the other big one was Blankenship. He was cut after that that Colts and Texans game. He missed a fair few field goals. That was just I think it was all over the place. Ended up in a draw as well. But poor Blankenship, like, you know, he was obviously rolling in it because he was a football player and he had the money, but now I don't know what that guy's going to do, to be honest. he's going to be left out on the streets.
Yeah, that's right. He's going to be sitting around playing with his Lego, the poor fella. Yeah, look, that was a weird game in itself. Look, I don't really know what the Colts were doing. We kind of expected a lot more out of the Colts than that. The Texans played a lot better than we thought. Damian Pierce hype train really didn't leave the station. Yeah. Derek Stingley hype train really left the station. I think that number 3 pick is looking pretty good so far.
Yeah, well, I suppose looking at the Colts, it's really just going to be, we had thought it might be a bit of the Matt Ryan show, obviously, but obviously JT is going to come in and do his thing again. And basically Ryan's only going to be throwing to Pittman, isn't he?
Well, that's the thing. He targeted Pittman a lot, and really I think Stingley did a great job with him. I don't know if he was locked on him all the time, but yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, but I suppose it probably wasn't, looking at it further, it probably wasn't you know, such a surprise that they did cut Blankenship, because you look at his stats, he's basically 45 out of 54 field goal attempts for his career. He's 0 from 4 from 50 plus now, and he's missed, you know, multiple field point after attempts as well. So I think in a game like, you know, we've talked to heaps of punters and special teams guys, they want you to be perfect no matter what. And as soon as you stop being perfect for them, they'll just move you on and get the next guy in. So I think it's probably not surprising to see him move on after this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not too surprising. Now, look, there's some absolute corker games this week outside of those. Bears with the upset at Soldier Field in the pissing rain.
Oh.
Look, there was a close game between Eagles and Lions. Now, it's probably not as close as we anticipated. Browns Panthers was tight with the return of Baker Mayfield. The Giants Titans. Now, that was one with a missed field goal right at the end. It was an absolute cracker.
Yeah, and I suppose looking at your Ravens, you don't need no ground game to win, do you? Look at Lamar. No, he was absolutely uncorking it for once.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, look, I was really happy with his week one performance. I think he hit the mark with a lot of guys. We've got a weak wide receiver room, and they scored all our touchdowns. So I'm not, like, overly concerned. A couple of guys had a few drops, but I think we got the job done. The Jets are the Jets. I don't think they were fantastic. Max Mitchell had a pretty reasonable debut, I thought, but Sauce Gardner was one I actually really liked there. Gave up one pass and really killed it for the rest of the game. So I think they found a gem there.
Broke up a really nice touchdown as well. So I thought he just shows out, doesn't he? Probably another one as well. Tua, he was good, but I thought you could still see on the highlight tapes, he's still under throwing a couple of those balls, but lucky old man Cheetah, he's quick enough to change his route to come in and catch him, isn't he?
Yeah, well, that game was really weird. Like, Patriots were very disappointing. Like, I guess we come to expect the Patriots to be good year in, year out, and I know Mac Jones potentially has back issues, and they said he's clear of that this week, so we'll see. We're going to see two different sides this week. We're going to see Patriots up against Steelers. We don't know what we're going to see in that game, and then Dolphins play the Ravens, so we could get a better look against a really superior defense and secondary if we get Marcus Peters back. I know we lost Kyle Fuller to an ACL, but they're going to come up against a pretty decent defense in the Ravens, so we'll see what Tua and Cheetah can do there.
Yeah, it should be fun to watch. And then, as we sort of alluded to earlier, rounding out the weekend was the Broncos versus the Seahawks in prime time. Now, obviously, I think everyone had penciled in, including you and myself, had penciled in a Broncos whitewash. And it was pretty much the flip of that. I don't know who took over Geno Smith's body, but that wasn't the Geno Smith that I know. That man was possessed. Like, I think he went 17 of 18 at one point for touchdowns and yards. And, oh, my God, he was just unstoppable.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about this or not, because it's really not the greatest start of the season. And it's weird because I know we just pretty much ragged on Seattle and we said these guys are going to be useless. But they turned up. I think in the preseason we saw that their offensive lineman that they picked up in the draft, like is it Cross, Charles Cross, and then I think Lucas Abraham or something like that. And those two are outstanding pickups, and they've got a few cornerbacks that have been really good. But yeah, Geno Smith, so smooth. And does that just say the Jets just don't know what the fuck they're doing? Like, they keep this guy who struggles there, and they just can't get a quarterback to do anything there. Taking to Seattle, and he kills it.
Yeah, and it's not like he even played that many games under center last year as well. He took over the team a bit. He obviously learned a little bit from Pete Carroll and Russell, but he's just absolutely flipped it. He was making some really, just really well-conscious throws. You know, he was always talking about protecting the football, and you could see that. He probably made one really bad across the field throw, but even then, that was going to work out regardless. So you could really tell that he was protecting the football and making conscious throws. His line held up quite well. I thought we pressured them really good, but he managed to make some good moves around the pocket and still buy himself some time that he was able to throw some darts in. And I think sort of that whole first quarter, they basically controlled the game. I mean, on the flip side, on our offense, I don't think Russell didn't even target a wide receiver until midway through the second quarter. Like, we'd literally thrown to our fullback. He was around. Yeah, he's our biggest receiving yards, like Beck or whatever his name is. Fuck me. Like, this guy doesn't even exist on the depth chart and you're like passing to him.
Oh, yeah, it was actually mind-blowing. Now, look, he punched out a lot of stats and the yardage was good. But, yeah, I didn't actually think he had the most fantastic game. He hit Jerry Jeudy for a really nice touchdown. And you throw to a wide receiver, what do you expect? Like, that moon ball of his is fantastic. Really either draws a flag or you get a nice catch deep in the field. But, look, Broncos disappointed, but I don't think they'll continue to disappoint. That's just week one. Seattle, I don't know if they've overachieved in week one or whether we're going to see some reasonable football from them for the rest of this year.
I think you watch them at home are going to be trouble. Like, you saw that the big part of our issues was Russell trying to work through on the offensive snaps with the 12th man. We almost ran so many delay of games. We had to burn so many timeouts. You just see they couldn't run any, you know, pre-snap stuff because he was just so rattled by the sound. He's obviously been on the other side of it. He's been the friendly side of it and had to, you know, I think it was like 10 years or something he's been able to enjoy that stuff. And now he's on the flip side. And I think it just rattled him. Like, he just really could not handle that pre-snap stuff. And I think that really unsettled our whole offense.
Yeah, oh, it did. Like, it is a tough environment to play in. Like, it's super loud. 12th man is super loud. Now, just a quick thoughts before we finish up on this. Play calling towards the end of the game. We just saw Peyton Manning on Manning Cast just hating it. Like, call the timeout. You've burnt 25, 30 seconds for nothing to call a timeout in the end. Like, you're not going to get them offside. It's not going to happen. What, like, just real quick thoughts from you there on that.
It wasn't even a hard count. No, dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, there was multiple times, and again, some of the players, probably, again, game awareness, we threw them out to them. I think Javonte took one, you know, that they tried to step back in and run into the field. Clock keeps running. No, maybe just look to go out on the sideline, take the yards. But, yeah, that last 2 minutes, again, it looked like he wasn't even rushing. He wasn't trying to get back to the line of scrimmage. He was wasting the play clock. And then, yeah, the decision to not even, like, say, take a timeout and have a think, oh, do we want one more throw? and then maybe go for the field goal or whatever. But to be honest, at that point, surely at fourth and four or fourth and five or whatever it was, we're at like the 50-yard line or whatever. Put it in Russell's hands, man. There's still like a good 50 seconds to go. We've shown, especially in that second half, we were able to pick up those 5 yards quite easy. Like you could have even put the ball on the ground, we would have made it. You didn't even have to throw it. But like, just to sit there and not even like try and get a hard count. Like you could have sat there and at least tried to pretend like you were going to hard count, even if you were always going to kick it. I don't care if you're going to do that, but like at least get to the line of scrimmage and make them stand at the line of scrimmage as well with you. Like it's just, I don't know what was going on. I think like just the preparation and maybe the cohesion between the unit just wasn't there.
Yeah, for a fan, that's really frustrating to watch. They just, like the play calling there, like any fan can see that that's just a butcher completely. So frustrating start for you for the year, 0-1 in a tough division. But look, we've seen the Chiefs and the Chargers. They're going to play each other this week and fireworks are going to go off there. They're both looking really good. So, yeah, that wraps up week one of the NFL. I know there's some other good games in there. Falcons always blow a lead. They know how to do that, the best out of anyone. But look, we can't cover it all, but there were some good takes in there.
Yeah, perfect. So moving on from the loss that we needed to have, we're going to look at some of our standouts this week, starting off with obviously our rookie watch coming back again from last year, where we're going to put it out to you guys to vote who our rookie of the week is. Look, I think for me, there were plenty of great opportunities. Obviously, Sauce Gardner was one that we both loved. He played really well. You know, a couple of those wide receiver guys, Drake London was good. I think Treylon Burks for the Titans as well. He was sort of unknown coming through. But for me, it's Dominique Robinson out of Chicago. He was like pick 175 out of the bad Miami, Ohio. He came in it was a slip and slide type of game. We all saw what it was. That Chicago weather was absolutely horrendous. Points were at a premium, and he came in and he balled out. Seven tackles, two sacks, one tackle for a loss, and basically was just pressuring Trey Lance all day. And you could see that Trey was so uncomfortable. So this guy got in there and basically just got in his face and caused absolute mayhem. And I think it's going to be good to watch him move on forward.
Yeah. Oh, this guy, it's a diamond in the rough for them. Like they've picked up an absolute star week one. Like if he continues on that, not they're going to be on the same, but phenomenal. That was bloody good. He was unbelievable. But yeah, we talked about, I suppose, different guys that could have also got this award. Like Jahan Dotson is another one, like three catches only. Two of them were touchdowns. So that's a phenomenal start to his
conversion
career.
Conversion rates,
yeah, that's right. There was a couple of guards in there, like a Raiders one and then a Vikings guy. Both really good. Like the maybe not the guys we're expecting to dominate in week one of the rookies from rookies, but I've got a guy I don't think I'd ever heard of until I was doing a bit of looking up. Kata Kohu. Now, I hope I've said that right. Cornerback from the Miami Dolphins. He was an undrafted free agent out of the massive college of University of Texas A&M. Now, not the actual Texas A&M, the University of Commerce. So really low. Yeah, correct. That's right. You see Texas A&M, you think, okay, this guy's from a big school. And then you see it is the University of Commerce. They're off branch. So I don't think there was much on him from the media perspective in draft rankings. He was an undrafted free agent. But look, he couldn't do much better than what he put out there. Didn't allow a catch, made a tackle for loss against the run, broke up a pass and forced a fumble on Aguilar in the fourth quarter, I think. Like, that's a phenomenal start for this bloke, and that he's just put his presence there. And, like, I think their cornerback is out for a little while. Byron, can't even think of his name now. Byron Jones. I think he's out for a few more weeks on the physically unable perform list, so this guy's going to get more opportunities to play. So, look, I love that from him. So we'll put this up on the socials and see who our rookie of the week will be.
Yeah, keeping his eyes on the prize. Hey, moving on to we're going to look at doing offensive and defensive players of the week this year. Look, team of the year was good. We will do that again towards the end of the year. But to be honest, we just couldn't be asked trying to figure out a guard every second week. So just going to go one of each. Who have you got for your offensive player of the week this week?
Oh, my offensive player of the week, I really could not go past the return of Saquon Barkley. Now, people were writing him off. I don't think we've said in the past, like we weren't sure whether he was going to make the comeback to where he's ever been.
Oh, I wrote him off massively.
Oh, yeah. And look, with the injuries, it's understandable. In his position, we've talked about running back. You're expendable. Things can change. If you get an injury, you're never going to be as good as you were. Week one back here, 30 receiving yards and a rushing touchdown, 164 rushing yards and a two-point conversion late in the game to put the boys ahead and to get the Giants the win. Is Saquon back for good?
Well, Saquon is back because he was my offensive player of the week as well. So that's going to make life so much easier. I think, yeah. Look, the hype's on. He looked like he had really good cadence. When, what about that like 60, 70 yard run or whatever that they had backed up on their goal line? Phenomenal. You just saw him like that was track Saquon, you know, like track speed that he used to have when he first came in and he broke out. And you're like, far out. This guy has got some absolute cadence in on him. He can absolutely put pedal to the metal. And once he got into open space and he cuts that and he breaks around that corner, gee whiz, he was tough to catch. So I think, look, the hype train could be real, but I'm jumping on and I'm drinking all the Kool-Aid. Like, I cannot get enough of this man's hype at the moment.
Oh, he was absolutely phenomenal. And look, I guess we've both gone him for good reason. I think he was easily one of the best out there, but there's got to be some honorable mentions out there. Mahomes looked clinical as always.
Oh, easy.
We've said, put anyone out there with him. Put another wide receiver out there with him. He will be fine. Tyreek Hill goes, no worries. Like, it's a loss, but I think he'll bounce back. DeAndre Swift was bloody good. Jonathan Taylor, business as usual. Nick Chubb, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson.
Jefferson was wild.
Yeah, Jefferson was unbelievable. Devontae Adams. Like, guys who joined new teams this year out of wide receivers killed it. A lot of them killed it. AJ Brown was unbelievable. There's a lot of guys out there, but I think the story for Saquon, I think it's hard for us to go past. So I don't think we need to vote there. That's just the winner.
Nah, easy winner. This one, though, I think we'll need a vote. For my look, it's defensive, and I've got a new guy coming onto a new team. It's Khalil Mack bouncing in for the Chargers. He had a great debut. Came in with 6 tackles, 3 sacks, 3 other tackles for losses, multiple QB hurries, and he got a forced fumble as well, just the title up in a nice little bow. So you saw the Chargers, they were always quite good last year, and I think the addition of Khalil Mack, like we said with Von Miller, just that added depth that it adds to your defensive line now, I think it just makes them so much more bigger, so much more stronger, so much more girthier to get around now, and he's proving to be like a really tough man to move.
Oh, fucking oath he is. Like, that is such a good pickup for them. I know JC Jackson didn't play, but the Chargers picked up some immense talent in the offseason, Khalil Mack being the other. I don't have words. The man's a beast. He absolutely killed it in week one. I don't think you need to say any more. It's going to be hard for me to compete with that for defensive player of the week. I don't know if much comes against that. There was 2 guys I really liked. Minka Fitzpatrick's one that's unfortunate, didn't get it. Blocked an extra point. We talked about 31-yard intercept, touchdown, pick 6, 14 tackles. Now, what a day. And he copped the bird from Jamar Chase. Gave him the finger on the field, so that made for a good photo. But I've gone with, and you won't like this, Uchenna Nwosu from the Seattle Seahawks, linebacker. 7 tackles, sack, pass defense, and a forced fumble. He's had a day there, and that's probably one of the forced fumbles on the goal line. We talked about 2 fumbles on the goal line. That's just cost you guys the game, and this guy's just wrecked it.
Yeah, you got to hold those balls in, but he came in and really peanut punched that thing out and just made it tough to play. So, and I think those guys that bring the bully ball in, it just makes it so much harder to push guys over. And you got to commend them sitting on their line twice at 4th down. They did so well to keep us out.
Yeah, unbelievably. Look, credit to them, and he was bloody good. So I'm happy with that pick. So yeah, look, we'll put a vote out there: Khalil Mack and Jenna Wosu. So we'll see who takes the cake.
Yeah, and look, moving on to our next section. Members may remember this one from last year. It was flying and dying. I think when we brought it in, we sort of wanted to look at guys or teams or things around the league that were either going good or going bad. Kind of like, you know, we're looking for a name though. And as much as we did take it as a ripoff from, you know, things like winners and losers and fucked and humming and all that sort of stuff, we didn't want to be a complete tool and steal their names as well. So we've been out looking. Flying and dying is what we said on last year because it was the only thing that I could remember rhyming. But this year, we're going to try something new. We've got the player stonks. They're going to come in. And unlike the crypto market, these ones will go both up and down, not just crashing to earth like my Bitcoin is at the moment. Pray for me. So anyways, stonks going up this week. Who stonks were you going up for yourself, Cam?
Yeah, look, I spend plenty of time looking at the old ASX and the market movers, and we're trying to pick some great stonks. But for the market movers this week, my advances are the New York Giants, ticker code NYG. I love them this week. We talked about Saquon Barkley before. Defensively, Wink Martindale, now Baltimore Ravens ex-defensive coordinator, has gone across to the Giants and looked revitalized. Like, the team looked really good. I'm happy with how they've progressed. Daniel Jones is still obviously Daniel Jones, But they got the win against Titans. Now, we said Titans probably aren't as good as what people think they are. They were first in the AFC last year. Fuck knows how. They've overachieved, and they could have lost the game this week. But Giants are a team on the up for me. I think you get them at a low basement bargain price, and you'll get some rewards out of that.
Yeah, for me, I'm buying stonks in the Browns, BRN. Look, they're for week one. They break their 18-year drought for a week one win, doing it over their nasty ex-girlfriend as well, Baker Mayfield, on a 58-yard buzzer beater. Now, if that's not going to tie you over, you know, between the Browns and Baker, just the two most saltiest people on the earth, and the Browns get number one. So I think just for me, they're obviously not going to do well for the rest of the year, but I think credit to them, first week win, that's got to count for something, doesn't it?
Oh, it was pretty great. And look, Baker, yeah, he copped his licks, so that's fine. Look, Browns, in other news during the week, they made themselves a little logo on the middle of the field finally. Brownie the Elf is going to make his debut. Pretty cool. I actually don't mind it. It was a choice between that and a few football helmets. Now, looked into the history of Brownie the Elf when I was at work with one of the blokes the other day. Bizarre. It's come from, I couldn't actually remember exactly what it was from. It's got some history, but it's a very strange logo for the team.
Well, I mean, bit late for Christmas in July, a bit early for Christmas in December, but it's right on time for a Browns week one win, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Now, as we all know, the recession is hitting hard. Everyone's getting hit with petrol prices at the pump, so there's going to be some decline in the stonks market. Now, who is a decliner for you?
Oh, I'm absolutely selling the Bengals O-line. Holy shit, they sucked, didn't they? Mm. They allowed 7 sacks. We mentioned it before. Multiple QB hurries. They left the pressure all over Burrow. He was, you know, if Zach Wilson thought he was seeing ghosts, this man was seeing Casper's horror friends. Like, holy shit, these ghosts were not friendly at all. He also threw 4 interceptions and 2 fumbles. Like, he was just absolutely all over it. I think their run game got nothing as well. So, look, it's not danger for the Bengals, but certainly I've never been a fan of their own line, and this stunk. This just put the nail in the coffin for me. I am selling them. Don't want to have anything to do with them anymore.
Yeah, the prices were high after the Super Bowl, and I think the hangover is pretty real. But yeah, they invested a lot of money in that O-line, and it hasn't delivered week one. Now it's only week one. We got to remember that. But yeah, look, I'm always happy to hear the Bengals struggling. Now, if I'm going to look at my decliners, people sent these guys on a ship to the moon. Everyone was going to invest at a nice price and take Jerry Jones to the moon. We were paper hands on them. We were selling fucking early on them. We did not like it at all. We could have made some good money on shorting them. So the Dallas Cowboys are my decliners this week. DAL, ticker code. I just do not rate them at all. I really think they struggle. We talked about it earlier, and losing Dak Prescott really cooks their season. So I think, look, the East could be competitive outside of Philly now. Like, I think the Giants had a win, Commanders had a win. So that leaves Dallas, who did not score a touchdown, the only team in the NFL in week one who did not score a touchdown, on the bottom of the list.
Yeah, I think, and you even mentioned it too, Eagles, what, about $2.20 or something to win that division? So there's a bit of value for you there. We're going to ride Hurts all the way.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not sure what their value is now. It's probably come in since that injury. Mm. We probably should revisit that, because there's probably a reasonable bet there. But yeah, we'll have a look. Eagles are now into $1.45. They weren't available the other day, and there is for good reason. Stupidly, I've got them in an 8-leg multi for every division, and I really should have just gone early on ones that I thought were a good chance and good odds, but we'll see how we go.
That's all right. We're winning the 8 division anyway. So, but yeah, that's player stonks this week. We'll be back again to get through the ASX and tell you when to buy low, sell high. But yeah, moving on, we'll be looking at week 2. Obviously, we did allude to this, but starting tomorrow morning, nice and early, Chargers and Chiefs. I think we can all expect this could be a big game with some big scores.
I think this is going to be massive. Now, my quickest take on this, I think Chargers win this. I think the pressure that's going to be put on Pat Mahomes by Khalil Mack and the sort, I think it's going to be too much. I think week one, I don't think the Cardinals are that good. And Chiefs proved that. Chiefs are very good, but I think the Chargers, with what they've picked up, I know Keenan Allen's a big out, but I still think they're capable of earning this, the firepower they've got.
Yeah, it's going to be a story of can Mahomes keep up with the scoring? Because again, Chiefs have always led in a lot of points, but they've always been able to score more. You know, we know people who do hate that, but defense wins games. And I think that's where the Chargers come across, and they're going to take it to them on their home ground too. So I think, and that's going to be a statement win early in the year, really, for them. And that'll set up the AFC West. It's like the AFC Weast Bar, isn't it? Look at that.
Yeah, perfect little mango Weast Bar.
Fuck, I hope we win that AFC Weast Bar at the end of the year. But anyways, we will, because we're bouncing back against the Texans. I can't wait for that. We're going to absolutely slaughter those morons. Couple other big games. Bucs Saints should be an interesting one. I think, look, the Buccaneers, obviously they had limited vision, but you're going in against the guys like Saints. Taysom Hill came out. They've obviously figured out a way to use him again. But Jameson Winston, some of those guys, he's got all those weapons in the duffel bag. Can he bring them out and can he throw them out all? We know that some of those guys, Thomas and Landry, they're just going to be out and ready for blood.
Yeah, Thomas made a good comeback. I'm really happy with that. Disappointing we didn't get him in fantasy as we wanted him, but someone cleaned him up early. Now, I think the Saints had a good record against the Bucs the last few years. Like, even when they weren't that great, I still think they put him away. I don't know if they won every game against them last 2 years or last year, but this could set up for a really cracking game, especially Saints home. I'm leaning Buccaneers, but I'm not 100% sold. Who would you take straight off the bat?
Yeah, I think limiting as well. I do like the Saints, but I probably got to just line with the Bucs for a minute. I could see a Saints upset.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, looking into the schedule here, Ravens-Dolphins, Ravens home opener. Dolphins looked pretty good. They blitzed 3 million times against us last year and we had no answers for it. So I'm hoping in the 365 days since we last played them that we've actually come up with a plan to combat the blitz.
Yeah, I hope you watched some film. Hey, do you reckon the guys have sat down and said, hey, let's try and throw this ball a bit quicker, eh? Shall we, Lamar? Yeah.
Let's zing this one out of here because the blitz is fucking coming down hot on your heels. Yeah, look, you think they'd make some changes. Home opener were usually pretty good, but look, I don't know. These ones are really tough one because the Dolphins didn't see a great Patriots outfit in last week and we didn't see a very good Jets team.
Yeah, well, I think your defense should be able to put some pressure on Tua. I think this will be a real test for him coming through and to, you know, really see if he really does have the best arm in the league. And I don't know. I don't know what he's smoking out there, but it must be cooking with the rock, is he?
Oh, it must be fantastic. Now, any other games that tickle your fancy in this week?
Look, probably one that's not going to be of high level skill, but I think he's going to be a tight game. He's going to be the Patriots and the Steelers. Now, obviously, Mac Jones, they're coming off that loss. And also, the Steelers coming off a bit of a tussling win, but obviously no TJ Watt. We saw Trubisky. He was okay. But a guy like Bill Belichick is going to have 1,000 pieces of film on him and he's going to have a plan. So I don't know. I'm looking at the Steelers probably still winning this just because I think that their defense is still quite good. Like, I know TJ Watt is the centerpiece of it and it's going to be minus without him. But I think guys like Minka Fitzpatrick are going to be able to stand up. I think Najee Harris is back as well. He was limited last time or is questionable at the moment. So I think that'll take some lead way off Trubisky for them to be able to at least put together some drives and make some pressure on a Mac.
Yeah, I think that's a real toss-up for me, that game. Now, Trubisky struggled last week, passed a rating of 70-something and 5 yards per attempt, which is piss poor. But they're $2 at home. If there's value for anyone there, they like that. Take them with a bit of a line, stretch out the line with an alternate handicap, or just take them head-to-head. Like, without TJ Watt, that's hard, but they could easily go out and win this one. They're an outfit that is renowned for getting these close victories.
Absolutely. I think another interesting one will be the Rams and the Falcons, now both coming off losses. Falcons look quite handy. You can see some of their new guys slotting in pretty well. But I think the Rams, they're going to be looking for blood, especially because they've got another home game. They really just got embarrassed. They got their pants pulled down, didn't they? And I think some of those guys want to come in, especially, you know, guys like Aaron Donald. Stafford, not so much. He seems like a kind, caring type. But, you know, guys like Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, they're going to come out and they're going to want to fight for blood, aren't they? They want to restore their reputation. They're not ones that are going to leave questions open, are they?
Oh, no, definitely not. So, look, yeah, that one should be interesting. I think your Rams should run away with that one at home, you'd think. But my game of the week, I believe, Tuesday for us, Monday night. There's two Monday games there. I'm not 100% sure why. But Eagles-Vikings. Vikings massive. Looked fantastic last week against the Packers. And the Eagles, look, the game is closer than it suggested. Eagles look pretty good at home. Vikings looked really good. I can't pick this one.
No, I think I'm probably leaning towards the Vikings, just the way that I suppose you saw between Cousins and Jefferson. They made it really work. Dalvin Cook cooked, baby. And I just think they're going to be too big for the Eagles defense, who, again, I thought they leaked a lot of points last week. And as much as I think Hurts, he clearly showed that he can keep up with an offense and he can run it. I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with the amount of points that that defense is going to leak to those guys.
No, no, definitely not. I think that it's going to be too hard to try and keep up with that.
Massive. But that wraps up a huge week. I can't wait. Two Tuesday night games. That'll be fun. Tuesday day game, sorry, Monday night for there. But and that's going to be a massive week too. And I think we're going to start to see a little bit more about how this year is going to shape up after this.
Yeah, week one's always too hard to pick things out of. So, yeah, I think week two really starts to take shape. And as we start to settle into the season, guys start settling into their positions now. Before we sort of end this episode at 11 o'clock on a Thursday evening, we'll look into the world of college football. Now, college football is this is into the third week. Some teams are, yeah, so... Look, we're seeing a top four that we probably already expected of Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, and that may not change for the rest of the year. I think Ohio State obviously plays Michigan. Georgia probably plays Alabama. Outside of that, I think we're seeing our boys rising up the ranks. USC looking hot as at 7, and Tennessee looking really nice with a statement win over Pitt at number 15. Now, we have Florida this week, sold out, checkerboard, I think, at Neyland. It could be unreal. You guys have Fresno State, who actually don't look too bad this year. I think our boy Jakey Haynes is still there.
Yeah, still there.
So that's a little bit of a test for you guys. I think you obviously still get away with that one. Riley offense is looking phenomenal. Williams is looking fantastic. So
Addison.
Addison's nice. Do you think you guys could push for a top four finish realistically by the end of the year?
Yeah, Lincoln Ball is undefeated. We're going to number one. No cap. Get that on your thing. We've got Caleb with Heisman. Addison's getting the wide receiver Blinkentoff. We're going for the number one. Pull your pants down. Mailman Stetson Bennett, he's on the way out. He was a one and done. See you later. USC, fight Trojan.
Yeah, look, I don't hate that. You guys actually look really nice. It's annoying. Looking at some results, I think we'll just quickly brush through a few of these. Alabama just snuck home against Texas. Do we see the rise of Texas again?
Geez, that was crazy, wasn't it? And Quinn Ayers, he went down, didn't he? So they did it with their backup QB for most of the game. I think you might. Hey, I mean, Texas is just such a big program that it never will stay down. But again, we've all gotten on this hype train where they have been like, is Texas back? And inevitably they'll do something dumb and they'll lose to someone stupid. And I think with their QB out, that is highly possible.
Yeah. Backup QB looked pretty good and they got Arch Manning coming in next year, plus a lot of recruits coming in over the next year or so. So look for Texas. Longhorns could be well and truly back. Brushing through a couple more games. Yeah, horns up. Marshall took care of Notre Dame. Notre Dame 0-2 for the first time in a long time. Appalachian State took care of number 6 Texas A&M, which is an overhyped Texas A&M. And we saw Kentucky take care of Florida, who were pretty hyped after their week one win. Another great game. BYU beat number 9 Baylor in double overtime. So BYU looking the real deal again this year.
Yeah, love the Cougars. Hey, they really come to play, don't they? And I think Baylor, coming off their year last year, they looked like they really wanted to, well, because they were pretty much on the verge of a national championship and they had a lot of guys coming back and the program was back and ready to go. And I think this is really going to put a little, this is really going to derail their season, I think.
Yeah, it's a struggle. So, look, after 2 weeks, we're seeing some pretty good football and we're seeing who exactly we thought was going to be up there. Looking at top 25 matchups this week, I don't think there's too much else out there. Penn State take on Auburn, which could be pretty good. And outside of that, I'm not seeing much that I love there. Are you seeing anything you like?
No, BYU play Oregon, which could be all right. South Florida vs. Florida won't be much. Miami and Texas A&M, both fraud teams. But they should drop out eventually. I think Clemson, interesting to see how they go through the year. I'm not solid on them. DJ Ungalole, he got dragged as well a bit last week or the week before. Not too much so. But I think, as I said, these guys just starting to get through their non-conference matchups. And once they start to play these conference games, that's when we start to get real, real nitty-gritty of the college ball season.
Yeah, it's nice. And hopefully we can stay ranked, both of us, throughout the year. Look, we've got an easy game. Oh, no, we are playing Akron this week, so I apologize. We got Florida next week. So, look, that's a bit of a hype on that one. Hopefully Florida win, so it builds it up even more. But, look, yeah, that wraps us up for this week. We are really into the season. I think one thing we didn't touch on, we got a fantasy team. We fucking dominated week one. Business as usual.
Stop it. I drafted so well. Thank you. Thank you.
I'd have to pray. Yeah, credit to you on that one. I went and got a haircut and I was in a place with no reception. So I said, Zach, leave it up to you. And he's done a good job. Look, we got second highest score in the league with Josh, J.K. Dobbins copping a bagel for not playing. 3 a.m. games are too hard to change your lineup for. Yeah. So, look, I think we started the season pretty well. Jay Herbs, Chubb, Jamar Chase. I think that's enough said, really.
I think we've done well. And considering I thought I jumped a bit early too with like the defense and the kicker in some of the like early rounds. Well, not the early rounds, but like the later rounds. But I don't know whether it says more about us or the league. But, you know, I thought I jumped early when no one else was getting them. But then other teams just didn't even draft a kicker or defense. So I don't know what that says more about.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, we're in a league with look, it's all Aussie NFL content creators, basically. So we've come in with it. Yeah, that's right. So look, Aussie NFL fantasy, so Outback QB. There's a few others. I can't exactly remember the name, so apologies to the boys in that. Look, if we win this Aussie NFL fantasy show, we're going to have to just take over their podcast and we will then host the show from then on.
I think that's fair, isn't it? It's basically like a pink slip, really.
Yeah, basically, look, these boys, that's their bread and butter. They talk about this week in, week out, and we've come in.
They're about to get schooled by two kids out from the, I don't even know, School of Hard Knocks. Oh, it's too late. Let's finish this fucking thing.
Yeah, righto. Wrap it up. That is us for this week. We have done. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.